This morning, America's First News starts right after this.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, Geico makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to geico.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. Geico.com. Easy.
From Compass Media Networks, this is America's First News. This morning, with your host, Gordon Deal.
Isolation time reduced. Good morning, I'm Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino on this Tuesday, December 28th. Here's what we have for you this hour.
The CDC has shortened the isolation period for COVID infections to 5 days, down from 10, opening the door for people to return to work more quickly.
Thousands more flights are canceled or delayed as bad weather combines with Omicron-driven staff shortages.
Two children are killed and four more injured in a South Florida hit and run.
And as Omicron spreads, what does it mean these days to be fully vaccinated?
Omicron is just way more infectious, and there is a growing number of studies suggesting that you really need, you know, three shots to afford the kind of protection that these shots were delivering earlier on in the pandemic.
Felicia Schwartz of the Wall Street Journal will be here in about 10 minutes with that story. The CDC has cut the number of days it recommends people isolate after being infected with COVID to 5 days from 10 for people without symptoms. More from this morning's Mike Gavin.
The shorter isolation period reflects recent research, new pandemic management ideas, and stress on some industries as the Omicron variant sickens workers. The CDC says people who have been infected with COVID and are asymptomatic may leave isolation after 5 days and should wear masks around other people for five more days. Vaccinated people exposed to someone with COVID should wear a mask around others for 10 days and, if possible, take a COVID test 5 days after exposure. The guidance opens the door for people to return to work, stores, and other public spaces more quickly after contracting the coronavirus, a move public health experts say is in line with recent research about how long vaccinated individuals with COVID remain contagious. Jen?
Thanks, Mike. In addition, Anthony Fauci, the nation's top infectious disease expert, says the federal government should consider requiring COVID vaccines for domestic flights. There's no indication at this point that such a mandate is on the way. President Biden is pledging to ease a shortage of COVID tests as the Omicron variant threatens to overwhelm hospitals and stifle travel plans as it spreads across the country. Biden yesterday joined a call with the administration's COVID response team and state governors.
Starting in 2 weeks, private insurance will reimburse you for the cost of at-home tests. We're providing access to free tests for folks who don't have insurance. But we have to do more. We have to do better. And we will.
Biden says his administration's steps include using the Defense Production Act to boost at-home test manufacturing and making it easier to use the Google search engine to find a nearby testing location. Health officials are bracing for a wave of more cases following the Christmas holiday, with hospitalizations ticking up and New Year's celebrations yet to come. Many are urging scaled-down New Year's Eve plans and more shots, including Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker.
If you are choosing not to be vaccinated for some non-medical reason, please change your mind. Do it for your family or for the family next door or for the people in your community who just need your help.
In New York City, a first-in-the-nation vaccine mandate for private businesses took effect yesterday. Two children were killed and four others hospitalized Monday afternoon after a hit-and-run crash in Broward County, Florida. The ages of the children hospitalized range from 1 to 10. Authorities say they received a call regarding a hit-and-run with injuries at about 2:50 p.m. Wilton Manors police officers and Fort Lauderdale Fire Rescue responded to the scene. Witnesses say the car drove up on a sidewalk to get around a bus before hitting the children. Fort Lauderdale Battalion Chief Stephen Golan.
This is truly a horrific event, and especially so close to the holidays. I can't imagine what these families are going through, and our thoughts and prayers are with them.
Golan said people provided aid at the scene before emergency crews arrived. Coming up, what it means to be fully vaccinated.
What are your 2022 business goals? Simplified IT? More security? Dell Technologies has the expertise to help you. From transforming your digital workspaces to providing comprehensive end-to-end IT solutions, get high-performance computers featuring Windows 11 Pro with powerful hardware-based security and savings up to 45% during Dell's New Year event sale. Get special financing through Dell Financial Services. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Koshinka in for Gordon Deal along with Dom Savino. Is fully vaxxed? Two shots? Three? More? The definition keeps changing. Felicia Schwartz of the Wall Street Journal has written a story about this and joins us now. Felicia, why is the definition changing?
So I guess it's not, you know, I think for now the CDC technically defines fully vaccinated as two shots of a messenger RNA vaccine or one shot of J&J. But practically speaking, it is changing in a lot of places. A growing number of like performance venues are requiring three shots and in universities. And basically that's just because two reasons. One is vaccine immunity in general is waning. A lot of people are 6 months past their, you know, first series. And then also Omicron is just way more infectious. And there is a growing number of studies suggesting that you really need, you know, three shots to afford the kind of protection that these shots were delivering earlier on in the pandemic.
With some schools and businesses, and as you mentioned, entertainment venues requiring boosters, why is that such a thorny issue?
So I think right now there's still, I think the vaccination rate in the U.S. is like, I think it's like 62%. And the number of people who've actually gotten boosters is only about 1 in 5 Americans. So it's really not a majority of people who've gotten boosters, and only like a slight majority who've been vaccinated. And you know, general vaccination really is still the overriding priority for policymakers. So I think it's thorny in the sense that, one, you know, no one wants to de-emphasize the importance of this primary series, and two, when the earlier when vaccine mandates were established, a lot more people were already vaccinated. So it was sort of like getting lone holdouts, whereas now it would be kind of imposing something on a lot more people.
We're speaking with Felicia Schwartz of the Wall Street Journal. How would a change in the wording affect what's being challenged right now in front of the Supreme Court on January 7th?
So some of that, it's definitely like a bit more complex legally than kind of meets the eye. But you know, sort of generally speaking, what it would probably do is, you know, a lot of kind of like mandates in states and you know, of course, Biden's rule for workplaces, that requirement would go from two shots to three. And, you know, you're only eligible for a booster 2 months out after J&J or 6 months out after the messenger RNA vaccine. So at least in the immediate term, it would mean like a lot more people would be subject to weekly testing. And it would probably take some time to get people caught up.
Felicia, your story points out that they may change the wording and go from fully vaccinated to up to date. Why the change, and why would that make a difference?
Before COVID, you know, there are a lot of vaccines people need to get at various stages in life and, you know, before you go to school, in some workplaces or for travel or whatever to some extent. So the idea of being up to date is it's kind of like, you know, in this moment of time, like in this snapshot, do you have all the vaccines you need to have? So it's kind of fluid what it means to have all the vaccines you need to have. And, you know, up to date is a way of capturing that. So the idea being now that we know a lot more about COVID and that COVID vaccines might be more of like a regular occurrence in life, kind of moving away from this idea of like fully vaccinated to are you up to date? Like maybe that will make it easier for people to kind of you know, understand and accurately refer to this idea that you might need to get these vaccines on some sort of regular schedule going forward.
Circling back to the timeline between being fully vaccinated and getting boosters, et cetera, and you mentioned the difference between the J&J shot at 2 months and the Pfizer and Moderna at 6 months. Would that present a special problem for schools and or businesses that require the boosters to do accurate record keeping on everybody, saying, you know, this employee A got a J&J shot, this one got a Pfizer shot? Does that make things extremely complicated?
Yeah, I mean, I think it definitely does. I think a lot of this is theoretical right now because it's not where we are. I think some, you know, the kinds of places we're seeing institute booster mandates, like universities and performance halls, these are places that had, vaccine mandates like very early on. So it's not that, it wouldn't be so unreasonable to, you know, get people up to date with getting boosters and stuff, because most people would be eligible and a lot of people have them. So I think the record keeping there would be a lot easier. But yeah, I mean, this is just an enormous headache. And I think there's been a lot of tension in general, like at rest, you know, here in New York, I think there's always a lot of tension that, you know, the hostess at a restaurant has become the enforcer and the bouncer and is checking everyone's records. So I think all this is very, very complicated.
Thanks, Felicia. Felicia Schwartz of The Wall Street Journal. It's 20 minutes past the hour. Here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
COVID cases across the globe have reached all-time highs as the world grapples with a new wave driven by the highly transmissible Omicron variant. The seven-day average is now a record 841,000 cases, a jump of nearly 50% compared to the last month. At home, the weekly average in the U.S. is at its highest level since January, with more than 206,000 cases per day.
Number two.
That spike in cases continues to snarl air travel, with staffing shortages expected to cause another day of cancellations. Nearly 4,000 U.S. flights have been canceled since Christmas Eve, including another 1,100 yesterday. Here's one passenger stuck at LaGuardia Airport in New York City.
Had a great time with your family. You know, you're not here for very long, so it's a good time always. And then you come here and have to deal with a whole bunch of stress. That's not fun.
Meanwhile, the airline industry is lauding the CDC's updated recommendations to some infected patients. The agency now says those who are completely asymptomatic only have to quarantine for 5 days, down from 10. Those people do need to wear a mask around others for the 5 days after.
Number three.
Police in Denver are reporting a series of shootings that left four people dead and injured an officer. The suspect is also dead. It's unclear what led to the rampage, which sparked gunfire in at least four different locations throughout the Denver area. This man witnessed part of the spree outside a shopping center.
Heard all the cop cars running down the street. I walked back to the car. One cop stood over by that parking garage by Target, and they told him, get out your cars. And then, yep. I said, well, I'm leaving then.
There is no word yet on the injured officer's condition. Jurors will begin deliberations for a fourth day in the trial of Ghislaine Maxwell, and there is no sign a verdict is close. The jury in Manhattan federal court has asked to review transcripts of testimony by six people. That includes the four women who testified Maxwell groomed them as teenagers to be sexually abused by Jeffrey Epstein. And a second chance for eager historians in Virginia. A second time capsule has been found in the pedestal of a now-removed statue of Confederate General Robert E. Lee. It comes after a capsule discovered last week proved to be a letdown. This second capsule is believed to be the much-sought-after artifact, supposedly dating back to 1887. It's rumored to even contain a photo of Abraham Lincoln's casket.
And that's to be open today, right?
I believe so, yeah.
So we're all going to be on pins and needles waiting to see what's in there.
The conservators are very excited in Virginia today.
Thanks, Tom. Coming up, why you should consider putting some money in bonds.
We don't go online the way we used to. These days, we have instant access for everything from photos to our finances right on our devices. We're almost always connected. And without the right online protection, you're almost always vulnerable to hackers. That's why there's Aura. Aura is a new type of security service that protects all of your online information and devices with one simple subscription. It's all-in-one protection from identity theft, financial fraud, malware, scam sites, and so much more. Aura provides digital security protection to keep your online finances, personal information, and tech safe from online threats with an easy online dashboard and alerts sent straight to your phone. Aura is easy to set up, and all plans come with $1 million in identity theft insurance to help recover your stolen funds and experienced U.S.-based customer support that's got your back. And for a limited time, Aura
is offering our listeners up to 40% off plans when you visit aura.com/Gordon. Go to aura.com/Gordon to get complete protection and savings of up to 40%. That's A-U-R-A, aura.com/Gordon.
Higher prices aren't going anywhere anytime soon, so what strategies can you take to protect yourself? Susan Tompor of the Detroit Free Press has some advice. Susan, what are inflation index savings bonds?
Well, you know, many people remember savings bonds from years and years ago. These so-called I-bonds came out maybe about 20 years ago. They had some popularity when they first came out, more than 20 years ago, actually. When they first came out, there was a good fixed income. Of course, now we're looking at more inflation than we have in the past, maybe 10, 20 years. So now they're getting a little bit more popularity. So it's a Treasury product. It's on treasurydirect.gov. You can't go into the bank anymore and buy these. People remember buying savings bonds in a bank. That's not what you do with savings bonds anymore. You have to buy them online. So the I-bonds, you can buy them online, or you can also, when you file your taxes, if you're getting a refund, you can file a form to use that refund toward I-bonds. And what the I-bonds will do is, at this point, it's a 0% fixed rate. So the new bonds you're buying is 0% fixed. It's all inflation adjusted. So right now inflation is high, so the annualized rate is really what's driving the interest, so to speak. The interest in the I-bonds, the interest is high, so it's an annualized rate of 0.12%, and that's good for a six-month period after you buy the bonds. I wrote about these because there's a limit to how many bonds you can buy in a given year.
We're speaking with Susan Tompor of the Detroit Free Press. So essentially, it is a good thing. It is one area of the economy, you could say, that is good when inflation is high. You're making more money on these bonds the worse inflation gets, essentially.
Yes, and but it is one thing you have to really go out and look for, because the banks aren't, you know, automatically raising CD rates here. And this is because this is the way this bond is set up. It's based on an inflation rate, you know, so there's not much flexibility to what they can or can't do. But again, you know, it's not something you can treat as a checking account. If you need that money to pay your bills, you can't do this. You have to keep this money in there at least a year. You can't tap into it for at least 12 months after you buy it. And then if you cash some of it out before, say, 5 years, there is a three-month interest penalty of the most recent 3 months. But some say that, you know, for savers, again, for people who are trying to, you know, put some money aside for the long term, this is not a bad idea. It's actually a pretty good one if you follow what some of the, you know, restrictions are in terms of record keeping and, you know, paying attention to what's going on.
In very general terms, bonds are kind of a slow and steady way of making money, and there's a lot less volatility and less danger losing your money. They're safer than, say, stocks or real estate.
Right. It's part of the mix. You know, you don't, you do, you know, obviously probably want some money in your 401k, and this is not for a 401k. This is outside, but, you know, in stocks. But this is part of the diversification. This is what would be called like a lower risk option. You know, you're going to be getting a pretty decent return. But again, if inflation goes back, you know, you won't be getting that over the long run. So, you know, it's hard for inflation to just stop midstream here. Although there's some hope, perhaps, that it would go back down a little bit. But it's very unlikely, it seems, at this point.
Some great advice from Susan Tompor of the Detroit Free Press if you're looking for a fairly safe investment to pull the trigger on either today or tomorrow. It's coming up on 30 minutes past the hour on This Morning, America's First News.
If you've been back at the office lately, have you noticed how work attire has changed? The days of stuffy, uncomfortable clothes is gone, thankfully. And for the new wardrobe, Cuts Clothing is on the cutting edge of casual. They've elevated the classic t-shirt to something that fits the workday, the nightlife, and you perfectly. I know firsthand, I love my Cuts shirts. They're flexible, willing to move with me, and they're tough. Perfect for when I'm in the office or a night out. Get them for yourself now, and you'll not only look good at this year's holiday events, you'll look good and stay comfortable. There's something for everyone on my list and yours, not just t-shirts. There's polos, bomber jackets, joggers, and more. Get them all from Cuts Clothing now. And don't just save time, save money too. Cuts has your holiday shopping covered with a ton of new products and special site-exclusive offers every day in December. Plus, get 15% off site-wide at cutsclothing.com/Gordon. That's C-U-T-S, cutsclothing.com/Gordon to get 15% off. Plus, can't miss daily deals. cutsclothing.com/Gordon.
Now, more than ever, where you get your news matters. This is America's First News, This Morning with Gordon Deal.
On this Tuesday, December 28th, Jennifer Koschinka in for Gordon Deal, along with Dom Savino. Here are some of our top stories and headlines. The CDC shortens the COVID isolation period to 5 days from 10 for people without symptoms. A shooting spree leaves 5 dead, including the suspect, in the Denver area. Record-breaking snowfall and frigid temperatures hit the West. Skier Michaela Schifrin's positive COVID test shows the threat Olympic stars are facing. And a new friendship formed via a doorbell camera. That story in about 20 minutes. Just because you're working from home doesn't mean your boss isn't watching you at home. Career coach Julie Bakke, president and chief career strategist at the Bakke Group, is here with more. Julie, how are bosses monitoring their employees who work from home?
There's a variety of different tools that employers are using, and there is, then they can decide which of those features in the software they want to use. So is it a leap to say, you know, we're looking at, they're monitoring things like keystrokes, what websites you visit. They're looking at how much time are you actually spending away from your computer. And it's not much of a reach to say, and then we're going to say, what are you doing with that away time? I think this is an extremely slippery slope. And, you know, when you know, it's sort of like when you think about when we were all in the office. You know, people, leaders, managers could walk around, see what you were doing. Are you hanging out around the coffee pot? Are you, you know, shooting the breeze at your at your coworker's cubicle? What are you actually doing? It was sort of an eyes on sort of a thing. Now they're saying, well, wait a minute. You know, you're at home. How do we know what you're doing? And the thing is, employees, human beings, will always find ways around this. And we'll always, you know, find a way to, you know, to trick the system.
We're speaking with career coach Julie Bakke. Julie, do they have to tell you that they are monitoring you? And has this led to some legal battles?
You know, they don't have to tell you that they're monitoring you. What if you've got an employer issued laptop, the assumption is it's theirs. So they can watch what you're doing. They can monitor it. They can, you know, it's their property. And so just like when you send emails, there's no expectation of privacy. So if you're sending personal emails on your work computer beyond the normal, hey, what are you doing for dinner? And this is where people have really gotten in trouble, is employers are able to go in and see what are you sending in your emails beyond what websites that you're visiting.
Julie, you mentioned earlier that some employees have figured out ways to get around this by, you know, hitting a keystroke here and there. What if you're not that technologically savvy, but you don't like this? Is there something you can do? Can you talk to your boss? Can you say, don't do this? Can you, I mean, what do you do?
So I don't think going to your boss and saying, I'm not comfortable with this, because if it's being done, it's being implemented probably systems-wide, or the system is being set up so that they can go in and monitor people they expect are not doing their job. I think going in and saying, look, I understand this is the new company. I understand this is a company policy. You know, Fred told me that he got called in because of this. And I just need to say up front, I'm uncomfortable with this. I'm doing my job. Would you agree I'm doing my job? You know, you say I'm the top performer on the team. And, you know, what are our options here? And, even talk to human resources. You know, this is where sometimes getting a group of people together and talking to HR and saying, you know, we're really uncomfortable with this is, you know, it can be a good thing. And so instead of painting everybody with a brush where you're saying we know that you all are stealing company time. And there are plenty of managers and leaders who actually lead that way.
Is this a fair question to ask when you're in a job interview, or would that put you out of the running right off the bat?
Personally, I think it's a fair question, but I would tell you that my bias is absolutely that an interview is a 50-50 conversation in which, you know, I saw a meme that said it was something like, you know, when the potential employer asks you for three references, you ought to ask them for three references too. Because it really, I believe it really is, of course, you know, we're not there yet, but I really believe it's a 50-50. I'm interviewing you to determine, is this a place where I can be successful? And employers are still not used to very pointed and probing questions from job seekers because at some level they still believe they have all the power. But I think that pendulum is swinging rather quickly. And you're going to have people saying, you know, tell me, how do you monitor productivity? You know, how do you look at people who take, you know, all of their vacation time? What is the culture around here for people who work hard but don't typically like to work from 8 to 5, might like to take from 2 to 3 off to go to my kid's soccer game? You know, how is that looked at here? And those are really scary questions for job seekers to ask because we still have in our brain, they have something I want. So I'm hoping that we make that switch over time. And I believe we will because the pendulum has swung hard the other direction. And it's not going to go back ever, probably.
Good stuff from career coach Julie Bakke.
Today's Mic Drop is brought to you by Dell. For your small business needs, call a Dell Technologies advisor today at 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Kashinka in for Gordon Deal. Time now for the Mic Drop with this morning's Mike Abbott.
Good morning. Well, you know, we love a you had just one job story, especially when the mistake could have been fixed with a simple proofread or spell check. That was the case in New York City recently when city contractors who were redoing the lettering in the streets accidentally messed up the abbreviation for miles per hour, painting MHP 8 different times on Avenue B instead of MPH. As you can imagine, New Yorkers didn't waste any time, Jen, flagging the mistake to the city's DOT, which promptly blamed outside contractors for the embarrassment.
Sure.
Yeah, of course. And said the mistake was fixed 2 days later at no cost to the city. Now, what makes the story even more amusing is that the Manhattan neighborhood where the spelling mistake happened is known as Alphabet City. A little bit of irony there.
You do it once. How do you do it 8 times?
Yeah, well, I mean, I guess they have one stencil, right? They reuse the stencil over and over again. But somebody, again, there's got to be one person in the chain of command there that spots that. You know,
right.
Once you do it, where's the person? Where's the supervisor that's supposed to sort of make sure that these things go off without a hitch?
Right, exactly.
That person probably had the day off, it would appear. And as you're preparing to ride through the drive-thru for coffee this morning, a question: can fast food workers tell what you're going to order before you even open your mouth? One McDonald's worker in the UK claims that she can and has gone viral after posting a video about it. Now, a lot of these terms are UK-centric, but we can translate. First up was the Big Mac meal, which she claims are popular among cowboy builders, a slang term for shady contractors. Next up was the sweet chili chicken wrap, a choice typically ordered by roadmen, slang for teenage boys who wear puffer jackets and act tough. The woman then showed a picture of a McChicken sandwich and joked that Karens usually buy that. In follow-up videos, the woman shared her thoughts on the Filet-O-Fish and also chicken nuggets. Since being posted, the videos have gone viral, amassing more than 3 million views, and with many people agreeing that she got the stereotypes right, though at least one person seemed to take offense at being labeled a Karen, saying the McChicken deserved a lot better.
I wonder what McDonald's thinks about all this.
Yeah, I mean, I know I can speak from experience, at least when I was 17 years old. You know, 17-year-olds are the ones ordering the 20-piece chicken nuggets, you know,
right.
Supersized
right.
With the fries and the drink. That's what I, you know, 17-year-olds with fast metabolisms are the ones who order those big monster meals.
Well, I learned something new today. I did not know that a roadman was a teen boy who wears a puffer jacket and acts tough.
I haven't heard that here in the States. I believe that's also a UK thing, but who knows at this point?
Very interesting.
Could have gone under my radar.
I'm going to have to check this out. Thanks, Mike. Coming up, what to do if your flight gets canceled.
What are your 2022 business goals? Simplified IT, more security? Dell Technologies has the expertise to help you. From transforming your digital workspaces to providing comprehensive end-to-end IT solutions, get high-performance computers featuring Windows 11 Pro with powerful hardware-based security and savings up to 45% during Dell's New Year event sale. Get special financing through Dell Financial Services. Call a Dell Technologies advisor at 877-ASK-DELL.
Jennifer Kuschenka in for Gordon Deal along with Dom Savino. If your flight is canceled, what should you do? Well, cranky concierge told ABC News the most important thing for you to do is to be on top of your airline and flight status. If you're closely monitoring the situation, you have more time to figure out your next steps. If you're already at the airport, get on the ticket agent line quickly as available seats are given on a first-come, first-served basis. Get in touch with your airline's customer service office while waiting in line, and you might even have better success by calling the airline's international phone center instead of the U.S. one. Most airlines have agreements with each other and can offer passengers flights to destinations with another carrier. Know your airline's refund policies. Some may not give you your money back until a few hours after cancellation. Most importantly, attitude matters. Whether you're dealing with an agent in person or over the phone, how you approach things can make a big difference. Remember, honey attracts more flies than vinegar. The agent is the one who has the most ability to help you. It's 9 minutes before the hour. Here's Dom Savino.
And now, the three big things you need to know. Number one.
The CDC is changing its advice for some infected patients as COVID cases surge across the country. The agency is shortening the isolation time for those who test positive but are completely asymptomatic. 5 days of isolation followed by mandatory mask wearing for the next 5 days when around others, even at home. Meanwhile, officials at every level continue to urge vaccination. Here's Illinois Governor J.B. Pritzker, a member of the White House COVID team.
If you are choosing not to be vaccinated for some non-medical reason, please change your mind.
73% of Americans have received at least one dose of a vaccine, though that's outside the top 50 countries.
Number two.
The latest COVID surge is hitting America's youngest especially hard. Pediatric hospitalizations have reached their highest level since early September. That's after a 35% increase over the last week. In New York City, new data shows pediatric hospitalizations are up 395% in the last 2 weeks.
Number three.
Local authorities are reporting there are no survivors of an evening plane crash in Southern California. It happened in San Diego County, about 25 miles north of the Mexico border. Authorities say the small plane went down in a residential area, damaging one home amid a debris field that stretched 200 feet. Local weather reports cited heavy rains, dense fog, and wind gusts of over 40 miles an hour at the time of the crash. The federal government is ramping up its investigation into reports of engine fires that have plagued Hyundai and Kia vehicles for years. The National Highway Traffic Safety Administration says it's opening an engineering analysis to see if previous recalls covered enough vehicles. The agency has received 161 complaints of engine fires in vehicles from the Korean automakers. The new investigation covers more than 3 million cars from the 2011 to 2016 model years. And move over, Google. You're no longer the world's most popular website. That distinction now goes to social media app TikTok, which danced its way to the top spot in 2021. The data from cybersecurity firm Cloudflare saw Google fall to number two, followed by Facebook, Microsoft, and Apple. Earlier this year, TikTok reported a record 1 billion monthly active users.
I think we needed some fun distraction this year, don't you?
I agree.
I think that's
billion with a B, yeah. Active users.
Yeah. Yeah, lots of TikTok this year. Thanks, Dom. Coming up, a UPS driver makes a new friend.
Do you own or rent your home? Sure you do. Fortunately, GEICO makes it easy to bundle your home and car insurance. It's a good thing, too, because having a home is hard work. Go to GEICO.com, get a quote, and see how much you could save. GEICO.com. Easy.
A UPS worker in Georgia made a delivery at the right place at just the right time, but it wasn't a parcel. It was an encouraging message to a new mom. The kind moment caught on doorbell camera has gone viral.
If this is the It's a Boy house who had the, I forget the name of the bird. I hope all is going well with your newborn. I had a child around the same time you guys did, and I just hope everything is going good. God bless. Happy holidays.
It was a gesture Jessica Kitchell says came just when she needed it, exhausted with her newborn baby boy. She posted the video on social media where it was quickly viewed by thousands. Since the UPS employee Darren Harrell had just had a baby boy too, Kitchell wanted to thank him for his compassion, so she posted baby registry links online with items Harrell and his fiance needed for their new baby. Almost everything the couple needed for their son has been gifted to them by people they didn't even know. Not only did Harold get baby gifts for his son, he received a promotion from UPS. But the biggest gift, Kitchell and Harold say, is a friendship they formed that all started with 20 seconds of compassion. Harold notes that it's just so easy right now to focus on what isn't going right, but the fact that we all got to see somebody take a second of their day and show an easy act of kindness really meant a lot. And that'll do it for this hour. For Dom Savino, I'm Jennifer Kashinka. Thanks for listening to This Morning, America's First News.